Blackwater's Sound by James W. Hall. Grief fills the room up of my absent child, lies in his bed, walks up and down with me, puts on his pretty looks, repeats his words, remembers me of all his gracious parts, stuffs out his vacant garments with his form. King John, William Shakespeare. For Peter Meinke, great poet and teacher, and always good for a laugh. Prologue. The marlin was the color of the ocean at 20 fathoms, an iridescent blue, with eerie light smoldering within its silky flesh, as if its electrons had become unstable by the cold friction of the sea. A ghostly phosphorescence, a gleaming flash, its large eyes unblinking as it slipped into a seam in the current, then rose toward the luminous surface, where a school of tuna was pecking at the tiny larvae and crustaceans snagged on a weed line. The marlin attacked from the rear of the school, an ambush. It accelerated from 30 knots to double that in only a few yards, a fusion of grace, efficiency, and blinding power. For a creature with the bulk of a bull, the marlin was as sleek as any missile, and blazed through the water at a speed not even the most powerful torpedo could attain. When it crashed into the school, it stunned each fish with a blow from its 3-foot bill, then swallowed it head first. Morgan Braswell saw its dorsal fin and the curved arc of its tail. She saw its shadow just below the surface. Maybe it was simply the angle of the sun, but the fish looked twice the size of an ordinary marlin. Before she could utter a word, the marlin hit the trolled lure, and the outrigger popped. "Fish on!" Johnny yelled. In the fighting chair, Morgan lifted the rod and settled it.